Tell me their names and maybe I'll help you.
Okay. Their names were Mr. Stone and Mr. Wood. Now, can we ask you some questions?
Do you guys just see things and pick names? Oh, you be Mr. Sidewalk, he's Mr. Carpet. Say hello to Mr. Airplane.
Very funny, young lady. First question. We need to know if you've seen this man. Here. You can hold the photograph.
Whoa. Straight on and profile, with numbers on the bottom. And big. He's cute, though. What did he do?
He was mixed up in a small-town bank robbery as a driver some years ago. His two colleagues decided to keep all the loot for themselves and ran out on him. He got angry, found them, came close to killing them with his hands. The state cut a deal with the men he hurt. They testified and got a suspended sentence. Shadow here got 6 years. He served 3. You ask me, guys like that, they should just lock them up and throw away the key.
I've never heard anyone say that in real life, you know. Not out loud.
Say what, Ms. Crow?
Loot. It's not a word you ever hear people say. Maybe in movies people say it. Not for real.
This isn't a movie, Ms. Crow.
Black Crow. It's Ms. Black Crow. My friends call me Sam.
Got it, Sam. Now about this man...
But you aren't my friends. You can call me Ms. Black Crow.
Listen, you snot-nosed little...
It's okay, Mr. Road. Sam here, pardon, ma'am. I mean Ms. Black Crow, wants to help us. She's a law-abiding citizen.
Ma'am, we know you helped Shadow. You were seen with him in a white Chevy Nova. He gave you a ride, he bought you dinner. Did he say anything that could help us in our investigation? Two of our best men have vanished.
I never met him.
You met him. Please, don't make the mistake of thinking we're stupid. We aren't stupid.
I meet a lot of people. Maybe I met him and forgot already.
Ma'am, it really is to your advantage to cooperate with us.
Otherwise, you'll have to introduce me to your friends Mr. Thumbscrews and Mr. Penethal?
Ma'am, you aren't making this any easier on yourself.
Gee, I'm sorry. Now, is there anything else? 'Cause I'm gonna say bye-bye now and close the door, and I figure you two are going to go and get into Mr. Carr and drive away.
Your lack of cooperation has been noted, ma'am.
Bye-bye now.
Click. Chapter 10. I'll tell you all my secrets, but I lie about my past, so send me off to bed forevermore. Tom Waits, Tango Till They're Sore. A whole life in darkness, surrounded by filth, that was what Shadow dreamed his first night in Lakeside. A child's life long ago and far away, in a land across the ocean, in the lands where the sun rose. But this life contained no sunrises, only dimness by day and blindness by night. Nobody spoke to him. He heard human voices from outside, but he could understand human speech no better than he understood the howling of the owls or the yelps of dogs. He remembered, or thought he remembered, one night, half a lifetime ago, when one of the big people had entered quietly and had not cuffed him or fed him, but had picked him up to her breast and embraced him. She smelled good. She had made crooning noises. Hot drops of water had fallen from her face to his. He had been scared and had wailed loudly in his fear. She put him down on the straw hurriedly and left the hut, fastening the door behind her. He remembered that moment, and he treasured it just as he remembered the sweetness of a cabbage heart, the tart taste of plums, the crunch of apples, the greasy delight of roasted fish. And now he saw the faces in the firelight, all of them looking at him as he was led out from the hut for the first time, which was the only time. So that was what people looked like. Raised in darkness, he had never seen faces. Everything was so new, so strange. The bonfire light hurt his eyes. They pulled on the rope around his neck to lead him to the space between the two bonfires where the man waited for him. And when the first blade was raised in the firelight, what a cheer went up from the crowd, and the child from the darkness began to laugh and laugh with them in delight and in freedom. And then the blade came down. Shadow opened his eyes and realized that he was hungry and cold, in an apartment with a layer of ice clouding the inside of the window glass. His frozen breath, he thought. He got out of bed, pleased he did not have to get dressed. He scraped at a window with a fingernail as he passed, felt the ice collect under the nail, then melt to water. He tried to remember his dream, but remembered nothing but misery and darkness. He put on his shoes. He figured he would walk into the town center, walk across the bridge across the northern end of the lake, if he had the geography of the town right. He put on his thin jacket, remembering his promise to himself that he would buy a warm winter coat, opened the apartment door and stepped out into the wooden deck. The cold took his breath away. He breathed in and felt every hair in his nostrils freeze into rigidity. The deck gave him a fine view of the lake, irregular patches of gray, surrounded by an expanse of white. He wondered how cold it was. The cold snap had come, that was for sure. It could not be much above zero, and it would not be a pleasant walk, but he was certain he could make it into town without too much trouble. What did Hinzelmann say last night, a 10-minute walk? And Shadow was a big man. He would walk briskly and keep himself warm. He set off south, heading for the bridge. Soon, he began to cough, a dry, thin cough, as the bitterly cold air touched his lungs. Soon his ears and face and lips hurt, and then his feet hurt. He thrust his ungloved hands deep into his coat pockets, clenched his fingers together, trying to find some warmth. He found himself remembering Loki Leismith's tall tales of the Minnesota winters, particularly the one about a hunter treed by a bear during a hard freeze who took out his dick and pissed an arching yellow stream of steaming urine that was already frozen hard before it hit the ground, then slid down the rock-hard frozen piss pole to freedom. A wry smile at the memory and another dry, painful cough. Step after step after step. He glanced back. The apartment building was not as far away as he had expected. This walk, he decided, was a mistake. But he was already 3 or 4 minutes from the apartment, and the bridge over the lake was in sight. It made as much sense to press on as to go home, and then what, call a taxi on the dead phone? Wait for spring? He had no food in the apartment, he reminded himself. He kept walking, revising his estimates of the temperature downward as he walked. -10? -20? -40, maybe, that strange point on the thermometer when Celsius and Fahrenheit say the same thing. Probably not that cold, but then there was wind chill, and the wind was now hard and steady and continuous, blowing over the lake, coming down from the Arctic across Canada. He remembered, enviously, the chemical hand and foot warmers he had taken from the men in the black train. He wished he had them now. 10 more minutes of walking, he guessed, and the bridge seemed to be no nearer. He was too cold to shiver. His eyes hurt. This was not simply cold. This was science fiction. This was a story set on the dark side of Mercury, back when they thought Mercury had a dark side. This was somewhere out on rocky Pluto, where the sun is just another star, shining only a little more brightly in the darkness. This, thought Shadow, is just a hair away from the places where air comes in buckets and pours just like beer. The occasional cars that roared past him seemed unreal. Spaceships, little freeze-dried packages of metal and glass, inhabited by people dressed more warmly than he was. An old song his mother had loved, Winter Wonderland, began to run through his head, and he hummed it through closed lips, kept pace to it as he walked. He had lost all sensation in his feet. He looked down at his black leather shoes, at the thin cotton socks, and began seriously to worry about frostbite. This was beyond a joke. This had moved beyond foolishness, slipped over the line into genuine 24-carat Jesus Christ, I fucked up big-time territory. His clothes might as well have been netting or lace. The wind blew through them, froze his bones and the marrow in his bones, froze the lashes of his eyes, froze the warm place under his balls, which were retreating into his pelvic cavity.
Keep walking,
he told himself.
Keep walking. I can stop and drink a pail of air when I get home.
A Beatles song started in his head, and he adjusted his pace to match it. It was only when he got to the chorus that he realized that he was humming Help. He was almost at the bridge now. Then he had to walk across it, and he would still be another 10 minutes from the stores on the west of the lake. maybe a little more. A dark car passed him, stopped, then reversed in a foggy cloud of exhaust smoke and came to a halt beside him.